You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
The Amplified Translation for 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 says, "But if we evaluated and judged ourselves honestly, recognizing our shortcomings and correcting our behavior, we would not be judged." Evaluate yourself. Why? Judge yourself. Why? I believe this is necessary. It's imperative because how do you tell somebody how to live when what they see in the world is going on in your life? How do you preach Jesus, sing Jesus, but you don't live like Jesus did? How do you call yourself Christian, but the way you live is anything but Christ-like? "Come out from among them," the Bible says. "Be ye separate, touch not the unclean," says the Lord. This topic of self-evaluation, self-examination, and the judgment of self is hugely important if we are to become Christians who are living a life pleasing to the Lord. So allow me to ask, if the angels were commanded by God to bring you before Him, if they were to open up the chambers of your heart, if the books were open to detail your every thought, deed, and intentions, what would be found? Who would be seen occupying the throne of your heart? Would the Word of God be written on every side, on every corner, and in every place in your heart? Or would we find something else? Would we find that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Or would we find that you are filled with the lust of money, the lust of pleasure, and the flesh? What I'm trying to get at is, examine yourself on a regular basis. Hold yourself against the standard that is in the Word of God. We're all good at following the commandments that say, do not kill, do not steal. But how many of us have idols in our hearts? Part of the reason why 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 is so powerful to me is because if we follow it, if we are obedient to this verse, then we will not be hypocrites. We won't be shallow Christians. We will not be a people who say one thing but live in a completely different way. And there's a lot of that going on today with modern preachers in a lot of mainstream churches. Let me ask you a question. And it might make some of you uncomfortable, but I believe it's important every now and again to examine ourselves. Examine what you tolerate in your life. Examine who you associate with and what they are feeding you. It's important to examine yourself against the standard of God and His Word. Ask yourself, what ungodly things do I tolerate? What ungodly conversations am I involved in? What ungodly thoughts am I entertaining? So I'll ask again. How do you tell somebody how to live when what they see in the world is going on in your life? Examine yourself, because some of us act like the world. We talk like the world, even cuss like we're of the world. Be separate, says the Lord. Come out from among them. We are believers of Christ, and we ought to know holy from unholy, good from evil. Examine yourself.
Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Amplified Version says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. Take a moment and consider. What does the Bible mean when it says this very thing? What is this very thing? Why should we be confident of it? Why is this very thing so important that it's associated with the beginning of a good work that will be completed until the day of Jesus? Saints, I believe that when the Bible talks about this very thing, it's talking about your salvation. And the reason I believe this is because when you are saved and when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you don't automatically become detached from your flesh. You don't automatically become this perfect person who never gets angry or upset. That's not the case. You need to work on your salvation by seeking more of Jesus Christ, by meditating on His Word, by pursuing a closer relationship with Him, by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Your salvation never stops. That's why Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Will complete it. Your salvation is not complete until the day of Jesus Christ's return. Philippians 2, verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. With the struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan, you pick your deductible, you even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. To all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. For your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify, visit endurancewarranty.com. Endurancewarranty.com.
So now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Did you hear that? The Bible tells you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you know what this means? It means you need to continue to work out your salvation, to cultivate it, to bring it to full effect, to actively pursue spiritual maturity with the fear of God. And as you do this, do it with caution because your eternal destiny depends on it. Once you are saved and born again, there is no curtain call or final whistle. Once you are saved and born again, that is just the beginning. The beginning of a good work. The beginning of the good fight of faith. The beginning of running a good race. The beginning of discovering the kingdom of God, which we are all called to seek first.
Romans chapter 13, verse 14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." If you can't remember all the pieces in the armor of God, then remember this one. Put on Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is righteousness. Jesus Christ is peace. He is salvation. He is the Word of God.
New levels, new devils. When that blessing comes, when your gift begins to make room for you and that fresh anointing touches your life, be sober, be vigilant, and be warned. The enemy will not take it sitting down. There is a hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness. And when the Lord lifts you up to a new level, understand that your level of opposition will change. But don't let that scare you. Don't let that discourage you. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So when you reach your new level, your opposition might be greater, but your measure of grace is greater. Your favor is bigger, and your anointing is at a higher level.
So my message to you is that your level of prayer must match your level of opposition. Don't let your blessing become your weakness. Don't let your blessing become the cause of complacency in your life. Keep chasing God. Keep seeking for His presence. Whether you are being blessed, you've been blessed, or you're waiting for a blessing, keep God first. New levels, new devils. When God starts working in you and through you, you become a threat to the enemy. And your place of safety, your refuge, before, during, and after the breakthrough and the blessings, should always be right under the blood of Jesus. Not even the devil himself can touch you. No principalities, no rulers of wickedness can stand before an almighty God. But the key for us is to stand under the protection of the blood at all times. At all times.
When a baby is born, one of the very first things you have to do is cut the umbilical cord in order to separate it from its mother. It's abrupt. It's permanent. But it is necessary. And that mental imagery is echoed in a multitude of different situations. In sports, some athletes have to be cut from the team so that only the best remain. In gardening, Some branches have to be cut so that the rest of the plant can grow. And in every season of life, there comes a time when you have to cut certain things out of your life. Maybe it's a relationship that is tempting you to sin. Maybe it's a habit that's turning into an addiction. Maybe it's a hobby that's becoming an obsession. There comes a time when you have to cut out certain things. It could be anything. Anything that starts off innocent but gradually starts to become an idol. Anything that keeps you from pursuing Jesus and enjoying life to the fullest in Him is a risk of becoming toxic. And at that point, it's up to you to decide you've had enough. It's up to you to decide to cut ties. And oftentimes we have to do these risk assessments. We need to begin assessing, is this worthy of my time? Is this even worthy of my effort? Is this worth my attention? So if you recognize that something just isn't right, don't be afraid to cut that ungodly friendship. Don't be afraid to cut that dangerous career path. Don't be afraid to cut that hobby. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." We can't always avoid temptation, but we can avoid intentionally putting ourselves in tempting situations. And there are certain people and conditions that bring out the worst in us. Ultimately, we must value our relationship with God over our comfort. We must value our spiritual health over our earthly satisfaction. The longer we remain connected to something, the more dependent on it we become. We should never rely completely on one person or activity to make us happy. People change. Circumstances change. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He is calling you to cut ties with something or someone you value, then do it. Nothing and no one should be placed above Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe He's showing you that your heart isn't in the right place. Losing those relationships isn't God's punishment. It's His mercy. It's His way of showing you that He is sufficient for you. Cutting ties doesn't mean you're giving up. It doesn't mean you don't care. It simply means that you are choosing wisely to walk away before you get hurt even more. And if you're waiting for the right time, you'll be waiting forever. It's often easier to get it over with so that you can begin to heal. Cutting ties will likely be difficult. It might cause some growing pains as you get acclimated to living without that person or that thing in your life. You might feel helpless and afraid at first. It might hurt to lose something or to lose that friendship. But in time, you can trust that God will help you to breathe on your own. In time, God will show you that it was all working for your good.
Once God has taken you to a new level, you become a higher threat to the enemy. New levels, new devils. You see, this is what happens when God begins to bless you. He lifts you up for His glory. And when the people around you begin to see the hand of God over your life, you become a living testimony. Your life begins to be a ministry all by itself because of God. Those who saw you and thought you weren't qualified enough. Those who saw you and made the decision that you weren't good enough. Those who doubted you and said there was nothing to you. All of them will witness your turnaround when God starts moving. All of them will be watching when God prepares a table for you in their presence. You see, there's no denying our God. Those who once plotted against you They will see you reach new heights despite their plans, and they'll know, they will know that you serve a living God, a miracle-working God, the King of Kings. But don't take it for granted. Remember to be sober, to be vigilant. Do you think the devil will sit back and watch that? If he can't stop you from being blessed, he will try and get you to lose your blessing. So your intensity must match that of your enemy. Your prayer life must match or be greater than the evil the devil throws your way. When God lifts you up to a new level, understand that the devil will raise his level of opposition against you. New levels, new devils. And if you didn't know, your opposition prowls to and fro, looking for whom he may devour. Your opposition throws fiery darts in the middle of the night. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you can't be praying on a level down here when your opposition is fighting you on a level up here. You need to raise your game. Pray at a higher level. Praise and worship God at a deeper level. Search and chase God in a way like never before. And when it comes to growth as a Christian, we all have room to grow. As children of God, we can never achieve perfection, but we can grow. We can improve. There is a higher level to be sought after. A higher level of faith. A higher level of obedience. A deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. A burning prayer life. A more intense outreach to the lost. There's always a new level, a higher level to be reached in our walk with Christ. As for me, I am desperate to have a deeper, closer relationship with God.
I wonder, how many people truly grasp what the Bible means when it says, walk by faith and not by sight? For us to truly walk with the Lord, we must refuse, absolutely refuse, to walk with our natural sight and our natural understanding. Walking by faith requires a strong determination to follow God's plan and His will, regardless of what life throws your way. The things of God don't go hand in hand with the ways of this world, but you need faith to understand that. In order to fully trust in God, we have to relinquish all control to Him. Take your hands off the situation and wait on the Lord. To put it another way, fully trusting in God means that you abandon trust in yourself or in another human. You stop trying to fix it yourself, and you allow God, you yield to God, you surrender all control to Him. When you have faith, you lean on God. In the same way that a child will place their trust in a parent, that's the type of faith that pleases the Lord. This is the type of faith that looks to God for protection, the faith that looks to God for provision, the faith that looks to the Lord for strength. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Notice that the Bible says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Jesus Christ will only dwell in your heart when there is faith. Faith dispels fear. Faith calms a troubled heart. Faith is the cure for a troubled heart. God's word tells us not to let our hearts be troubled. It's telling us to have faith. Have faith that Jesus Christ will save you and rescue you from anything you could face in this life. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God wants you to call Him. He says, Trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you. So let your hope be found in God. He has the perfect solution, each and every time. So call on Him, whether it's day or night. Your way out is already there. Your future is in His hands. So why wouldn't you call on Him? You have the right to call on him because you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, God's very own possession. There's a saying that goes, if you do not stand firm in faith, then you will not stand at all. So let me ask you, are you standing in faith? Are you living by faith? Are you walking by faith? Faith is a life of action based on what you believe to be true. For example, the action of not worrying. That is a result of you having the faith that God is in control. The action of not trying to fix everything. That too is a result of you having the faith that God is in control. Jesus Christ said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Why did he say this? Because he wants you to have faith that he will take care of all your needs. Another way to understand or define faith can be summed up in the following way. Faith is doing your part, which is trusting God to do his part. Your part is to believe. That's all you need to do. And then you leave God to do his part. Your part is to stand on God's word. His word that says nothing is impossible with God. So once again, let me ask you, are you doing your part? Are you believing? Are you believing and standing on God's word? One of the enemies of faith is fear. And think of it this way. Fear is more about believing circumstances, imaginations, expectations, or statistics instead of God. Fear is all about believing what you can see with your natural eyes as opposed to believing what's written in God's word. Now, there's an even bigger enemy to faith than fear. And this enemy is called doubt or unbelief. And this is when one believes nothing of God or believes everything but God. So I encourage you to trust and obey God. Let's learn to apply his word over circumstances and emotions. Now, the following faith-based life principles will help you in living a life that is content in the Lord. If you're speaking to any believer who has experienced the power of faith in their lives, they will tell you that faith tells you to never quit. It tells you to keep pressing on, to keep persevering, because faith knows that God will make a way according to his word. The bottom line is that we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by feeling. Faith is simply believing what you can't see. I don't have to see the blood of Jesus for me to believe that it protects me. I don't have to see angels for me to believe that God sends them to protect me. I don't even have to see the Holy Spirit for me to believe that he has power. Faith is all about believing long enough and strong enough. Believe for long enough and believe strongly enough, and you'll be amazed at what God can do. Faith is a requirement for the believer. It's the core of our Christian living. It's by faith that we come to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's also by faith that we live our lives with joy and gladness, knowing that there is eternity to be spent with the Father above. And perhaps one of the most prominent verses in the Bible about faith is Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
God reaches out to us and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As well as placing our hope in God and holding on to him, we are also encouraged to be joyful and to have a grateful and thankful heart in all circumstances. Paul's message to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, is still just as important and relevant today as it was back in his time. He encourages us by saying, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." if we can live out these words. If we can just hold on to God no matter what, we can overcome all the obstacles and troubles we face in this world.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.